Seated. If this is your first time here, or maybe not, maybe it's your 100th time here, we're just glad you're here. We're glad you're worshiping with us. It's always awesome to worship with other people that just want to follow Jesus. And that's why we're here today. So thank you for being here. If this is your first time, though, we have a little card. If you could fill this out. If you didn't get one, they're in the back. Hopefully they hand you out one. Just a couple quick questions. We want to get to know you a little bit more and see if we can help each other in some way. We do have it. We're still under the, we don't pass anything to give. There's still a plexiglass plastic box out there. You can give online. You can give in person in the box. You can send it by mail. You can also use the app. If you're in the church center app, you can give on there. That works really well. So there's lots of opportunities if you'd like to give financially to the church as well. A couple announcements for things coming up. this Friday is March 4th, so February's over. We're going into March soon. March 4th is an all-church prayer meeting at 7 p.m. Yes, we're excited. We've been having a prayer meeting every month. And so March 4th at 7 p.m., this is an opportunity to come together. I know we pray on our own, maybe with our families. We come to church, but this is an opportunity to focus on prayer as a group, as a congregation. So this Friday at 7 p.m. Next Sunday is the 5th of March, or sorry, 6th of March. That is the baby dedication. So at Calvary Gospel Church, we do not baptize our babies, our children. We dedicate them to God because they have not reached a point in their lives where they can mentally understand what it means to repent and do the things that God has asked of them. So we dedicate our children as parents. And so that service happens twice a year. And the next one is this coming Sunday. So if you would like, today is your last day to sign up. You can sign up with the Bitly link that you see up there, the little HTTPS, blah, blah, blah. Or you can, through the Church Center app, there's a button right on the, a link right on the front page there you can sign up for. And if you don't know how to do either of those two things, just look for me at the end of service. I can help you out as well. And now if you can stand, we want to say a prayer. During this time, we pray for the service. You know, we pray that God would anoint Pastor Roy when he speaks. Pray that God would anoint everybody as they sing. But really, for all the rest of us, like, let's pray that God touches our hearts. That somehow today we learn or hear or do something that God speaks to us in some way that spurs us into something more than a service and into more of following Jesus during the week, right? And so that's one thing. We also want to pray today. We all know of the situation going on overseas in Ukraine, right? And so we want to pray for that situation overall. I don't know what God's doing or trying to do or how he's going to do something in all of this, but I know he can and he will. Also, along with that situation, there's a lot of the churches over there that are struggling because of this, the people and what they're going to. So let's pray that God would be with them and strengthen them in that situation, okay? Let's go to prayer. God, thank you so much for your presence, for your spirit, God, that leads and guides us, God, for what we feel in this place, God, when we worship you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would, God, we think about the situation, God, overseas in Ukraine and what's going on with Russia, God. God, I don't know what the end result is or what it's going to be or what your plan is or has been, but God, I pray that you would have your will in that situation. God, Lord, we pray specifically, God, for the churches, Lord, the ministers, the buildings, the people, God, that are trying to follow you, God, that you would give them courage, that you would give them strength, that you would increase their faith, God. Show them what they can do, what they need to do, how to do it, God. Be with them, God. Let them feel you in that moment, God. God, we pray for peace over that region right now, God. We send your peace that passes all understanding into that place, God. We pray that your peace, God, would be in that region, God, right now and in the hearts of everybody there. And God, we pray for this service, God. We pray the anointing over Pastor Roy and over everybody singing. But God, we pray for our hearts, God. Help us to hear and understand something from you. Let us leave different today. Let us leave with something that it has us following you through the week, God, and not just making this about a service, God. God, let there be less of us and more of you in this service, God. I pray, Lord, that you be lifted up today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus.
powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. It's just such an awesome. Sometimes we hear this, our lesson this morning, we're talking about the power of our gifts we just experienced. What we're speaking about here, what God is trying to say. So many times we hear it and we just want to move on, okay? But God is saying this morning that I have the power. I've placed it within reach of every one of you. And all you have to do is reach out. It's right there. You don't have to run after it. You don't have to chase for it. You don't have to purchase it. It's right here. It's right there. So let's just lift our hands. You need a healing this morning, whether it's in your heart, in your mind, your body, your marriage, your finances. There's a lot of things we can use healings that we need repaired and fixed. Let's just reach out before we get into our lesson today. Lord, God, you just spoke to us. Lord, you are like the healing balm. Your spirit, Lord, allow it to flow through this people, through your people. And Lord, whatever we are struggling, whatever, the song says, just speak the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. Lord, Pastor Peter taught this morning, Lord, we want to be disciples. I want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. God, have your way with us this day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, there's a powerful presence anointing in this place this morning. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. If you're a guest of ours, it is such an honor to have you here today. And we want to thank you for visiting. So good to see Jason and his lovely wife, Florida. They were here, attended here for a long time. They're back. And also, it's so great, this past Monday, we had a wedding here where we joined together Mr. Timothy Hoover, Sister Kim Aka, now Sister Kim Hoover, Brother Tim. He is from the Indiana area. He's a Hoosier. We're not going to hold that against him. He did have to sign an agreement. He had to sign a wedding certificate, marriage license, and then he had to sign an agreement that he would be a Packer fan from here on out, and a Badger fan. We haven't yet got Sister Vicki Vernon to sign that. She's still a Buckeye fan, but we're working on it. We're working on it. So good to see all of you. I hope you had a blessed, trust you had a blessed week. And continue to pray for the situation that's going on in Europe. Because what happens there is going to very much affect not just that region of the world, but it's going to reach across the globe. And we understand and we realize that our faith and our hope is not in governments. Although government is ordained by God, but our faith and hope is in Jesus. But we still have to live in this present world. And we still have to deal with all of the things that we have to deal with in this present world. And to help us, and this is one thing that it's so amazing listening to Pastor Peter preach this morning about disciples of Jesus and knowing what I'm going to be speaking here on or continuing in our vein with the power of your gifts, how that so much of this is intertwined. Last week we started a series on spiritual gifts. For the sake of time, it was a rather long passage of scripture that we read. I'm just going to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I will be reading from the ESV version because it's simpler for me to read than King James. So please understand that. So we're reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul is laying this out to the church of Corinth. And they've had some issues, they've had some struggles understanding exactly how spiritual gifts should operate, who should have them, and what is the responsibility of all of this. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, I don't want you to be uninformed. I know that when you were pagans, basically saying, I know that we were all lost at one point in time in our lives, and we are now disciples of Jesus. We are following. So when you were pagans, we were led astray to mute idols, foolish things. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Wrapping, making this very simple, he's saying there's all kinds of gifts, there's all kinds of service, there's a variety of activities, but they all come from one source. They come from God. Now we're going to skip down to verse 25. And it says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Here we have today, we have Calvary Gospel Church. Calvary Gospel Church is not just a stand-alone congregation that has no other roots outside of this immediate assembly, but we are all part of a larger body of Christ. We have brothers and sisters all over the state. We have brothers and sisters all over the nation. We have brothers and sisters all over the world. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are my brother. You are my sister. It doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter your social status. Doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how poor you are, how big a house or how big a car you drive. You are my brother and my sister. And he goes on to say, and God has anointed or appointed in the church first apostles. Paul himself was an apostle. Second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. We are all apostles, or he says, are all apostles. These are questions that he's asking them. He's saying there's a question mark. He says, are all apostles? No, not everyone's called to be an apostle. Are all prophets? No, not everyone is called to prophesy. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? And do all interpret? That's what happened here just a few minutes ago. We had what is called a tongues and interpretation. That is one way God speaks to his church. But his question is, do all do this? Now, we can answer this as a yes, or we can answer this as a no, or maybe you're answering this as a maybe or a perhaps. We will begin to break down even more clearly as we begin to break down in this lesson Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Going on, he says in verses 4 through 6, paraphrasing here, wrapping up a little bit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So it's the same God that gives those gifts, and it's the same God that empowers us with those. So when Paul writes that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, he is reminding us here that no matter what gift you may have, no matter what level of gift you may have, no matter what priority or importance you place on your gift, Paul is telling you that remember something, it's not your gift, it's from God. You only have it by the grace of God, and you don't look down upon the gifts that others may possess and say, well, I have the gift of prophecy, and you just have the gift of helps. Move aside. Here comes the prophet. I'm amazed at how many modern-day prophets give wrong prophecies. You know what they did in the Old Testament? I'm glad we don't live in the Old Testament. If you are a prophet and you boo-booed in the Old Testament, a lot of times they threw you in a pit and stoned you. Well, so much for that guy. He can't get it right. No wonder so many prophets didn't speak out. I don't know that I would speak out. Imagine this, if you were in a church service and, I tell you what, that was a dead in tongues interpret. Somebody got it wrong. Line them up here. Let's take care of this. No. It's done a little different under the dispensation of grace than it was under the law, isn't it? So when we look at this, every gift we possess is only because of the grace of God. It's not because of talent that you have. It's not because of abilities that you may have. These gifts come from God. So when we look at the gifts, so who has them? You may ask yourself. Perhaps you desire to have a gift or gifts, but they seem to be ever elusive to you. Anybody ever feel that way? Anybody, thank you for being, I struggle. I'm like, Lord, I really want to, I would really love to have this. And you pray about it, you struggle with it, and you're like, Lord, what do I have to do? And it just seems to be, it's out there, but you just can't quite connect with it. Anybody ever feel that way? Am I the only one that feels that way here? I think we could probably all say, yeah, I kind of feel that way at times. Who has them? Well, let me put it this way. According to Scripture, every disciple, every follower of Jesus Christ should have or does have. Now, I'm sure you've heard this over and over the years. I sure wish I had the gift or some gifts. I just don't have that. Well, let's look at this. Let's look at this. We read, this is a parable in the New Testament when Jesus was talking to his servants, or the master was talking to his servants, and some he gave 5 talents, some he gave 3, and some he gave 1. Now, this was speaking of monetary. I understand the context of that portion of the parable, but I think we could look at this in very various ways. So I'm going to look at this morning that I believe here today that some God has given some 5 gifts, some has given some 3 gifts, and God has given some 1 gift. Maybe you have just 2 gifts. Maybe you have 7 gifts. I don't know what God has given to you. But I do know what it's like to have 1 gift and only 1 gift and burying that 1 gift because you were afraid to use it. And I do understand and I have experienced the consequences of burying your gift and what happens as a result of you burying that gift. So to each one of us, we have gift or gifts. Look in verse 3. Paul strengthened his thought when he says, notice, he says, the key word is every one. Spiritual gifts are not just reserved for some disciples or followers of Jesus. But if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ because you have put your trust in him, you have faith in him, you're trying to exercise that faith, no matter what level that faith is, you have at least 1, if not more, gifts. Remember Peter. Peter had something to add when we look into his book concerning this in 1 Peter chapter 4:10. Peter reinforces this idea and he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now remember, Peter firsthand sat at the feet of Jesus Christ. He firsthand experienced and listened with his own ears and was able to take and hear the parables of Jesus. So here Peter is reinforcing not just what Paul was writing and his writings, but Peter was reinforcing the very words of Jesus Christ himself. To each a talent, to each a gift. But we have to understand something, that our gifts were never designed as a personal use only gift. Our gifts are primarily designed for the good or the edification, meaning the building up of the entire body. We have to understand the gifts of tongues and interpretation, or the gift of prophecy, is for the edification of the body. Edification, what does that mean? That means the building up of the body. It's not designed to chastise, scold, or scorn. You know how a pastor, I don't have every gift, but I know I have some. I know I have a gift of discernment at times. It's not always there. It comes and goes, but sometimes it's very, sometimes you don't even need the gift. You can just read the face. But there are times we've had prophetic words go forth, and those prophetic words were not very edifying. And there's a check that happens in your spirit to where you're like, okay, we need to address this. You see, this is designed to build up for the good of the entire body. We read in 1 Corinthians, was not the first time, this was, we read in 1 Corinthians, this was not the first time that Paul mentions spiritual gifts. This evidently was a problem with much of the New Testament church at that time. Now you have to understand, the church is relatively new. The church was going through a period of time where that when Christ came, the law was being done away with. There was a dispensation shift that how God was dealing with humanity. The law went by the wayside, perhaps. Remember, the Ten Commandments weren't part of the law. We're talking about Levitical law, a lot of the law of Moses. A lot of that was being phased out. Because Jesus Christ, he said, I came to fulfill the law. I am the law. So now we're stepping into a new dispensation. A dispensation is basically a time, specific time frame of years or centuries in which God, how God dealt with man. It was innocence, and this is a whole other Bible study within itself. But now we're in the dispensation of grace. So the church itself was going through this process. It's just like, imagine if you were 15 years old growing up, going to the temple, the synagogues, and you had to take and pick out a turtle dove or something to sacrifice for your sins. So you started coming to Calvary Gospel Church, bringing your dove in a cage, and at the end of service, we had a big, huge sacrifice, and we all sacrificed our animals. Bishop stood up here as our high priest. He sacrificed. The place stunk, feathers, all kinds of junk everywhere. It was disgusting at times. You could smell it for miles away. That was church. Now all of a sudden, we don't have to do that anymore. There's been a shift. We don't have to bring. But see, the church was going through all of that. And not everybody understood it all yet, because not everybody had heard the word yet. That's why when they met various apostles, Apollos and some of these other ones that were teaching John's baptism. So all of this was a change that was happening in the church. So the disciples, the apostles, Paul himself, they were dealing with all of these shifts. There was a strong push to introduce pagan doctrines into the church. It's not any different today. We fight with some of the same things. People trying to push humanistic doctrines or their own, we have this all over the place going on. It was the same thing going on back then. So here we have Paul. Peter addresses it. Paul, he addresses the gifts to the church in Corinthians or Corinth. And later he's talking, or earlier he's talking to the church in Rome. And he's speaking in chapter 1 of Rome, or of Romans, verses 11 and 12, I believe it is. For I long to see you. He's writing to the Romans, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. One of Paul's main purposes in writing this letter to the Romans was to use the spiritual gifts that God had given to him to strengthen, encourage, build up the New Testament saints, because some of the New Testament saints were going through hell on earth when it comes to being persecuted. And in turn, he expected, this is the thing when it comes to gifts, he expected at some point that if he was able to take and encourage others and lead others in the way on how to find the gifts that God has for you, that at some point in his life, that would come back to help him. It would come back to bless him. He reinforces this idea in verses 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 12, where he uses one of his favorite analogies for the church, that the human body, he writes, like a single human body has many parts. The church, he writes, is not like a single human body that has many, is like a single body that human, and every single part of that body has a different function. Each of which is indispensable for the proper functioning of the body. We talked a little bit about this 2 weeks ago. We talked about the liver. We talked about the gallbladder and all of these parts of our bodies that are very vital in function, but we don't see them. We made it kind of a joke of it. Kind of humorous. Man, I'm telling you, what drew you to your wife? Oh, she's got a gorgeous liver. You know, we look and say, oh man, she's got such beautiful eyes and such a beautiful smile. We don't ever say, you know, she has the most beautiful pancreas I've ever seen. That's what drew me. No, those are all parts. They're vital parts. Let any of those parts dysfunction, and it's going to show up very rapidly. I gotta be honest with you. I can cut my finger off and still function. I can cut my hand off and still function. You can take my whole arm off and still function. But you take my liver out, we're not going to do so well, are we? So Paul was making a very simple analogy about our physical bodies. And the crucial that every organ in the body, if it stops beating, the entire body will die. And the same thing is for the church. Every single member of the church. You may sit here today and feel like, well, I'm not that important, says you, but not maybe the rest of us. We may look at it and say, well, I'm just not that important. But every single member of the church is indispensable to the operation of the church. Hear me out, please, this morning. And even if one member is not using his gift or her gift as God intends, it is simply impossible for the church to operate as God intended for it to operate. You may be sitting on a very valuable gift this morning and thinking, I'm afraid to use it. I don't want to use it. I don't know how to use it. And God is saying, use it. There are sick among you, and I've given you a gift. Use it. And I said, well, I don't have the gift of healing. Maybe you have the gift of administration. Maybe you have. We're going to get into some of these, but the important thing is if you're holding out on your gift or gifts due to fear and insecurities, or perhaps it's even just the lack of understanding, whatever it may be, then this whole body, this whole church body right here cannot function and operate at its full capacity. Can you imagine what would happen if the body of Christ began to operate as God had intended for it to operate? Think about this. Can you imagine what would have happened to Israel if Israel would have operated as God intended them to operate? How different perhaps our world would be today? They were God's chosen people. Are we not God's chosen people? It's easy to criticize Israel and say, how stupid, how dumb could you be? I sometimes wonder if the same verbiage wouldn't apply today. I don't want to offend anyone, don't want to be condescending, but I think sometimes the devil, our adversary, sits back and says, boy, I'm glad they're dumb. I'm glad they're not getting onto this, because if they were, I would be whooped from one end of the globe to the next. Because if we operate as God intended, look at the various gifts you have or you don't have. You look at all of what God has given to us. Now, if you've ever done a study on all the spiritual gifts, if you've ever taken any of these spiritual gifts inventories, I've taken some of those tests. You take a test and it's supposed to tell you what gifts you have. Some of them can be somewhat accurate, some of them not quite so. But I've taken a few tests designed to show you your gifts. Then you probably, if you've taken those tests, been exposed to the different ways that people try to list or categorize or define spiritual gifts. I find it a bit amusing. Many of these so designed tests seem to disagree. If you read one test or do one test versus another test, there seems to be some disagreement on what actually are or aren't spiritual gifts. I've seen lists and I've heard messages to contain anywhere from the 7 that's mentioned in Romans 12 to nearly 30 different gifts. In addition to the gifts listed in Romans chapter 12, there's also lists in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4, as well as a few other places within the New Testament, and there's some overlapping in some of those gifts. But here, I've listed some of these spiritual gifts. I think it's important, if you say, well, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, to actually understand what we're talking about. So when we look in Romans chapter 12, there's the spiritual gift. We call it exhortation. We talk about giving, the gift of leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, and the gift of teaching. We have Ephesians 4. We have the apostle. We have the evangelist. We have the pastor. We have the prophet. We have the teacher. Those are the ones we like to hone in on first, as to which one of these best suits me or which one of these titles can I wear. Then we have 1 Corinthians 12. We don't talk a lot about administration. But I am so extremely thankful for those among us that have the gift of administration, or we would have an absolute mess. I'm thankful for the apostle. I'm thankful for those that have the gift of discernment, of faith, and healings, and helps. I look at the ministry of helps. I look at our care ministry. And I look at Brother and Sister Bronker that help with our care ministry, and Pastor Seidel, who oversees all of this. This is an extremely vital ministry at Calvary Gospel Church, because it is a ministry of helps. If someone has need of a meal, we take care and get them a meal. If someone is in the hospital or in a nursing home or sick, we make sure that we're able to take care as a body. When one member suffers, we all should feel something. This is called the body of Christ. We're disciples. We're following after the words and teachings of Jesus Christ. And it is very difficult at times, Pastor Peter. The gift of knowledge, miracles, prophecies mentioned again, teaching, tongues and interpretation, and wisdom. Here's a unique gift. What does the Bible say about wisdom? You have to pray for that gift. You have to fast for that gift. This is one of those gifts God says, you know what, I want to give it to you. All you got to do is ask for it. All you do is ask for it. But then you got to use it. What good is it to have all of these gifts and you don't use it? So we're going to close out with this as our worship team can return, come back up. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. We read this scripture a lot, and we only read the first portion of it most of the time. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is tying in with the gifts. He then goes on to explain our humble service in the body of Christ. I believe that every member of the body of Christ is called to service. Every member. Doesn't matter the level. If Pastor Roy ever stops serving others, then I'm no longer fulfilling my duty and calling. It's become about me. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm the pastor. I can't tell you how many times I've vacuumed this sanctuary with my wife. Just because it's dirty, it needs it. I could cop an attitude. I'm not trying to say, oh, look at me. I know how to run a vacuum cleaner. It's not beneath me. I make messes at home. I got to clean them up. We make messes here. They got to be cleaned up. We're getting new coverings for our pews because 25 years later, we've had so many burps and so many spilt diapers and so many little kids puking and tears and food. And I don't know who it was over in one section of the sanctuary within the last week, but it's like you had a smorgasbord for your children. There were peanut hulls and there were crackers, and I'm looking around. I'm like, somewhere there's probably some broccoli, some dip, and carrots. But you know what? It all has to be cleaned up. So, yeah, just clean it up. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, or each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We can stand this morning. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, prophesying, he says, then prophesy according with your faith. If it is serving, what is he saying? If it's serving, then serve. If it's ministry, then minister. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's repairing the HVAC systems of the church, then repair them. If it's fixing the plumbing, then fix it. If it's plowing the snow out of the parking lot, then plow it. This is what Paul is saying. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You see, so we have Paul using the word grace, talking about all of this is done and available by the grace of God in our lives. He's not talking about grace as in salvation. He's talking about grace as a gift, something that you have that you didn't deserve. He's talking about unmerited favor of gifts. I don't deserve this. You don't deserve it. No one here deserves it. Gifts we don't deserve, gifts we did not earn, but gifts that are freely given by our God. Gifts we are expected to use. And we are to use these gifts not for look at me, but we're to use these gifts to edify our brothers and our sisters. Sadly to say, most of us will never use the gifts. And some of us use the gifts in the wrong ways. So the true spirit and the true purity of the gifts, if we could just grasp today what God is desiring for us as a church, as an individual. So as our worship team begins to sing, leads us into worship, I want to challenge you this morning. If you feel God, I don't know what it is. I don't give these out. I can't look at Brother Rico and say, here, Brother Rico, I want to give you the gift of healing. I can't do that, but God, God gives those gifts. Perhaps God has given you a gift and you are struggling with how to use it, or maybe you're just struggling at how to identify it. I want to invite you to just come down to the altar and say, Lord, here I am. A humble servant, a disciple, trying my hardest to fulfill your will and your purpose in my life. God bless you.
You are the fire. We are the temple. You are the voice. We are your song. You are our God. We are
your people. You are the light we stand in awe.
We stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of you.
Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God. Send your Spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God. Send your Spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God. Send your Spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God. Send your Spirit, God.
You called us out of the darkness into your love, into your light. Grace upon grace, beauty for ashes, you come to us. Come alive.
Spirit, God.
Spirit, God, not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God, send your Spirit, God, not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God, send your Spirit, God, not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God.
The Lord again, church. Next Sunday we have our baby dedication. So remember, if you have a young baby, a child you'd like to dedicate, you can go online or you can tag in with Pastor Peter this morning. Sister Linda will be continuing. I believe this is her last Bible study on prayer. So remember that on Wednesday night. So I won't be speaking on the power of the gifts. It'll be 2 weeks. This next Sunday will be baby dedication. And the week after that, we'll continue into part three of this. But your homework or your challenge between now and then is I want you to spend some time. We should all be spending time in prayer. Maybe fast. You don't have to fast a full day. I'm not asking you to fast indefinitely here, but fast a meal or two or maybe a day, whatever it would be, whatever works out for you. And say, okay, God, I know you want to use me. Maybe you're just having struggles with what gifts God wants to use you in. And I want you to write some things down. Whatever God speaks to you, write them down. Remember, the greater the gift, the greater the responsibility. Okay? And you have to also understand that God didn't design his church to have a church of 100 prophets and nobody serving. God disperses his gifts among a body. So we all can't come back and say, well, we're all called to prophesy. That was the problem they were having. Everybody wanted to prophesy. Nobody wanted to follow the prophecies. For thee, not for me. So remember, God balances it out. God knows his body. Just as you know your own body, God knows his body. He knows every member. He knows how they function. And he knows who he... This is a big one. Listen to me. He knows who he can trust with what. That's a key. That's one of those keys. He knows who he can trust with what. So, 2 weeks, we're going to get into this a little bit deeper. So, God bless you. Love you all. Continue to pray for the situation in Europe, our brothers, sisters in some of those countries, and the neighboring countries. This has a very possibility that this could escalate very quickly and suck in a lot more than just the Ukraine. So pray for this, but we also got to understand God's got all of this. God knows what he's doing. And if God says this is how it's going to end, we need to pray that God gets us through it, not always change it. Because I think sometimes as Christians, we want to have the end times, but we don't want to live the end times. We don't want to live through it. We want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. Get my point? God bless you. We'll see you here on Wednesday evening. And thank you to our music team, worship team. Awesome job today. Thank you so very much to all of you involved in that.